Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. It's time for an amazing podcast. This week, I had the pleasure of podcasting with Catherine Malley. Her podcast, Beauty in the Biz, is iconic. And I have known about Catherine and her marketing and her practice management for the last 20 years. So I want you guys to tune in to a great podcast that I did with her on her show. You're going to hear so many tips about running your practice, social media, marketing, business management, and how to be a boss girl. Tune in.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beauty in the Biz, where we talk about the business and marketing side of plastic surgery. I'm your host, Catherine Malley, author of Your Aesthetic Practice, What Your Patients Are Saying, as well as consultant to get surgeons more patients and more profits. Now, today's special guest is Dr. Kay Durayraj. She is a facial plastic surgeon offering surgical as well as non-surgical procedures in her Pasadena, California practice for the past 20 years. Now, she's USC and UCLA trained and chairman of the Department of Ear, Nose, and Throat Surgery at Huntington Memorial Hospital. And she serves as an advisor to multiple aesthetic industry companies such as MERS, Allergan, Evolus, Prolinium, and Galderma. Now, she goes by Dr. K to keep it easy for her patients and was voted one of the top 100 injectors in the country by her peers. And she offers online courses to injectors to fine-tune their skills. Now, Dr. K has her own podcast called Beauty Bites with over 600 episodes, which I have to ask her more about, as well as her own skincare line and her online store. Dr. K, welcome to Beauty in the Biz. Thanks for being on.
Thanks, Catherine. It's such a pleasure. I don't know if you realize, but I have followed you for a very long time. I've known about you since residency days and have always looked at your marketing book and your techniques. And yeah, so fun to chat with you.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, we've been around a while, huh?
Yeah.
I'm Ms. Loon. So tell me, I just love to ask facial plastic surgeons, how did you end up in facial plastic surgery versus any other specialty?
Oh, well, that's easy. The face is the best anatomy of the body. It's the most intricate, most difficult, most aesthetic. My dad is also a head and neck surgeon, so maybe some of that was just passed on to me genetically. But I love that we can interact at this level with the patient, like eye to eye, don't have to get undressed. It's just very personable and so much you can do, everything from, you know, ears, nose, throat, facial plastics, aesthetic, laryngology, taking care of very young, very old. So I've really enjoyed all of that.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, it sounds like you're still in academia, but you're also in private practice. What was your journey to get to private practice? And are you still in both worlds?
I still do a little bit of both. I'm clinical faculty at UCLA Olive View Medical Center, where I sometimes scrub in and teach the residents when they're operating. So that's been really joyful to relive feeling like a resident again and give people tips and pointers from the practice, you know, private practice side. And on the other hand, I was so glad to go into private practice because you really get to be the captain of your own ship. And I feel like I'm probably part of that last dying bit of solo private practice providers. And I've had partners in the past. So I've been through those stages of having three or four partners and having just one partner. And now I'm still a private practice, but I do have aesthetic extenders too.
You know, the more I talk to everybody about this, most surgeons, they're in private practice for a reason. They like to do things their way, and bringing somebody on board who also likes to do things their way. If you can do it, private practice and getting extenders and you're still the boss, I think that's just the easiest power play, you know, for organizations, for the whole thing. You know, I always say, know thyself. If you're not good, you know, working with others, or you want to do it your way, that's what happens. Just know that before you bring on somebody else who has other ideas.
I totally agree. And I also think, like me, I'm sort of a creative type. So I've come up with these wacky ideas, like, let's start a podcast. Like, I don't know how to do a podcast, but we started one and we've had now 1.7 million downloads, which has been crazy successful. So I sort of spur of the moment, get these inspirations and ideas. And then I think if you're in a big group, not everybody's okay with that, like the creative bursts. Everybody's very business focused and driven, but I've allowed myself permission to be a writer, be a podcaster, be a skincare creator, do a lot of TikTok, Instagram, and online content creation. So I love the creative aspect of entrepreneurship.
Yeah, we're definitely going to talk about that. Before we get there, can we talk about you also have a skincare line and you have your own online store. From a business approach, is that worth it? I know it looks so good. Like it's just such a nice profit center because you already did the hard part. You already figured out the skincare line and the chemistry and all of that. And now you just have to sell it. Although now that takes marketing and some more money to do that. Is it a profit center or not? Is it a good segue to surgery? What are the pros and cons of having your own skincare line as well as your own online store?
I love having a skincare line, and it is a profit center, but I'd say skincare is an expensive product to create, produce, and stock. And the thing is, once you make a skincare line, you have to talk about it. Every day you have to talk about it. The day you don't talk about it, the day you don't sell product. And either we're selling in office to patients, which is so nice, and I make that part of a treatment plan, or estheticians also do. And people love the convenience, but because our ingredients are so great, we get a lot of return buyers. So that's been lovely. I think it's very hard to have search engine optimization drive strangers to your website. It's really hard to rank in skincare these days because you're competing with Neutrogena and Estee Lauder and all these brands, Drunk Elephant, things that are, you know, getting much more search marketing dollars than the typical doctor's office can provide. So you have to think about those things. Are you prepared to chat about it every day? Because we have so many things we could talk about. Is skincare truly such a revenue driver? No, but it's icing on the cake and it makes us have a really complete package that we give people.
I'm just so torn by it because I've watched a lot of practices make a big deal out of it. They made their whole reception area. They have glass cases and it's a big deal there, but they have to talk about it. And there's only so much room to talk about that versus surgery versus the other non-surgical like lasers and fillers. And I just think sometimes it's a distraction because you do have to pick your priorities here. And that would never be my first priority. It's always the icing on the cake. It's never the cake. So I'm torn by it. You seem to pull that off very well, but you have to be really active. You have to, as you said, you've got to talk about this a lot. And then what happens to the surgery? Another thing that happens, at least you're using your own skincare line. I've noticed so many other practices use the big pharma company skincare lines. And then the rep is in there constantly talking about all sorts of events that they should do. And it just takes a lot of the focus away from.
Honestly, I think you're so right. That's such a great perspective. Someone who's been in this industry long enough, you see things how I do. Like I can talk about, do you want to have your facelift or do you want to talk about, skincare to tighten and improve you? And there's room for both. But the days I'm super busy running around and stressed, I tend to truncate that conversation to what I really want to say. And then other days I push myself to make it part of every regimen, because honestly, if they don't buy from you, they're going to go buy next door, whether it's at Target, Nordstrom's, or from the next influencer. So it's nice for people to know you're a scientific resource and they can count on what you say is truth and accuracy. And then they trust you, they buy from you. If you sell great products, they'll buy it again and again. So.
Well, that's what's so enticing, because if somebody loves you and your products, they'll come back for forever, unless somebody else nabs them, with something bigger and better, which is always, yes, a challenge or a fear. But anyway, I've just put it in perspective.
I think that's so important, because then also you see these big docs that get their products are in Nordstrom's and actually when you talk to them behind the scenes, there's very little profit, so many returns, so much stocking, overstocking fees, and it's just really hard. I've also tried to sell things on Amazon. That's also a bit of a challenge. But you never know. Like these days on TikTok, you get one viral video and your product can just really fly out the window. And so we've been lucky to have a lot of TikTok brand impressions. So almost 100 million brand impressions on TikTok.
Very nice. Who's doing the fulfillment, by the way?
We do it internally. And I almost settled on having someone else do it, but I'm really glad we did it. And it hit, right during the pandemic, that provided such a great focus for us to have passive income stream, skincare we could sell. I developed a pretty at-home peel, which was awesome, because before our esthetician services were limited to our office and our surrounding cities. And now we were able to do FaceTime consults and ship people peels, even very strong stuff like Cosmolons or, light TCA peels. So that was so fun to package and ship out. And that kind of saved us during the pandemic and the shutdown, because we had this whole new revenue stream. So that's been pretty good.
So speaking of staff, what's your setup there? Like how many people under you who also revenue generate?
Great question, because that's how you have to look at staff. Like, do they actually move the needle or not? And we train everyone in our office to know that they're part of the team that keeps this airplane afloat and up in the sky. And we have an esthetician. We also have a nurse practitioner. We've had two nurse practitioners. Right now we have one, and then myself. And then, I have a nurse who does cosmetic consultations, who she herself brings in a ton of patients and helps people to get in the mindset to be ready to launch. So that's what we have. And then I have a marketing team, which is, it is expensive, but it is also revenue generating in the sense that we put out newsletters, creative content, and, remarket people who are interested in our services. So I have fun with them too. But I would say that's another big, huge deciding point. Like, do you pay for a marketing team? Do you keep them in-house? Is it cost effective? Is it really generating revenue? Those are the big questions.
That's the million-dollar question. Do you just bring in a person who's going to do your marketing? Do you hire and they're in-house and you're keeping an eye on them? You know what they're doing. They're meeting with you every week to go over your content calendar, that kind of thing. Do you hire a digital agency who says they know better, and then maybe they come in periodically to do videos, but then they're not there all the time. Do you have any tips for that? How do you get all of this done?
I really feel strongly that you have to learn a model first yourself internally, and then be able to implement it, be able to understand how long does it take to make an Instagram reel or to make a TikTok video. And you can only ever learn that by throwing one together yourself. So anything I dive into, I'll invest 15, 20 hours of just like really digging into the tool myself and understanding it. And then figuring out, do I love it? Am I fast? Am I good at it? Can I teach and train this? Or do I just want to offload this to a professional who can be much more efficient? Like something like Google paid ads, like, I don't know if I'd be more efficient at that. I could dig in and learn it, but I'm probably better off like paying someone. But something like creating Instagram videos, I think is better in-house because it has that internal, behind the scenes feel. It feels more real. It doesn't feel so rehearsed. That's kind of what people want. So we've had success with having an in-house team that helps to film, edit, and put together content. We do a lot of content, more than probably 90% of practices. I would say we generate, 20 pieces of content a day, at least on a slow day.
Did everyone hear that? 20 pieces a day.
Yeah.
You must know Gary Vee.
I love Gary Vee. And every time he says that, I'm like, okay, I got to do more. Sometimes I think, okay, maybe I'm doing too much. Then I listen to him. I'm like, no, I've got to keep going.
I think he's up to 100 a day now. And I just think, dude, I give up with you. Although he does have, and I know this, he has like 30 editorial staff, cutting up, the all the content. He is the content creator. Like, he's mega. Everything he does is on video, but he has a bunch of editors. That look good. So, and on every channel, wow, that's incredible. Yeah.
So I've tried to mimic some of that. We do put stuff on YouTube, Pinterest, even Instagram, TikTok for sure, Facebook and Twitter, not so much, but but it's great now with artificial intelligence. I'm learning our AI and I'm becoming an expert in AI. I've lectured on it a lot this year. And I just came back from VCS and we lectured on the use of AI in your aesthetic practice. So not only for facial analysis scanning, but also for, using and creating content. So content creation, like writing blog posts, for video generation, photo generation, for taking a scripted video and chopping it into fragments. There's so literally so much you can do. You can multiply your workforce. But again, it boils down to learn it. Are you going to take time to learn it? And then you're going to take time to implement it, because that's the barrier.
What I find is I'm doing it because I agree that I want to know what I'm talking about before I delegate or abdicate, however you want to look at it. And first I do it so I'm clear. Is this a big job? Is this a little job? Am I expecting too much? I want to know if they're giving me a snow job,
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So I just want to understand it. But then as I'm doing that, I'm thinking, this can't be what I should be doing. This can't.
I know. I mean, I think I can post Instagram videos faster, better, and nice, funnier, more relatable than any of my staff. And sometimes I'll hire some 20-year-olds and they'll be like, oh, it's taking me all day to make a reel. And And be like, girl, no, I can post that at a traffic light while driving with my cappuccino in my hand. And like, you know, I'm a real multitasker. I think we have to be as women, surgeons, mothers. So like, if I can do it fast, I'm going to expect other people to do it fast. But yeah, there are definitely some times where I offload the work. And I think I'm a surgeon. When I really look at it, what's 20 minutes of my time worth? That could be a $2,000 filler treatment right there. Right.
Right. And that's all life is. It's just constantly balancing. Is this where I should be spending my resources? And the resources are time, money, effort, mindset, energy. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So I've developed this year a passion for DoorDash because I've decided that it's not worth it to cook. And like, it's so expensive to cook. And I'm just like, I'm saving 20 minutes, not driving in and out and picking up the food. And like, before I felt very guilty about that. And as a woman, I felt guilty to hire a housekeeper, guilty to hire nannies, tutors, all the things. Like, you feel like you're a mom, you should be there doing it yourself, you should run your own household. But no, now I'm like, I need a party planner. I need to clone myself and have at home like this little village that helps me, because my surgical time is the most valuable thing, and it doesn't make sense anymore for me to not think that way.
I swear that comes from maturity, because same thing. I haven't been to a grocery store in years. I refuse. It's such a waste of my time. I can't make all those decisions. I end up impulsively buying a bunch of junk food. And now I just do Instacart. And the secret to Instacart is when they connect you and say, okay, Sophie started shopping, I immediately chat to her. And I say, hi, Sophie. Can you please pick the best carrots and apples you can find, because they're terrible at picking produce if you don't tell them anything. And they say, oh, absolutely, I'll do the best job I can, because I give them a good tip. And I say, thanks, Sophie.
Oh, that's a good tip. Yeah, I love that. See, I still go to the grocery store a little bit. It's almost like mental decompression to wander and browse. But I don't want to cook anymore. I realized like, I don't get that much fun out of it. I'll eat all the good stuff.
So any tips on staff, hiring, firing, motivating, training, any tips there since you've been around a minute?
I think it's been a challenge. It's really an adaptation to the younger workforce and the standards of the millennials is hard for me, because I was raised the hard way and I was raised by surgeons, and they're like, you know, ferocious. And I have three kids that are millennial, 20-year-old age. And so I'm just learning that mindset. And I think that they are so healthy because they value happiness and free time and like doing things holistically in their lives, which we were never taught that. Never. I was never taught that. I was always like, go, 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 put your nose to the grindstone. But on the other hand, at work, I do feel like I hire quick and fire quick. Actually, let me say that again. I hire slow and fire quick. We hire very slowly. It used to just be like the old hiring process of interview hire, but not anymore. We screen like 20 resumes to get three people come in. We do working interviews. So your interview is, you know, you have to commit to an hour long working interview where you're going to do three or four tasks. Some of which are writing without using ChatGPT. And then content creation, it depends on the position, but you're also going to come in the room and scribe with me. If you're trying to be hired for an MA position, I want you in the room scribing to see, how do you pay attention? Do you pick things up? You don't have to be perfect and you don't have to spell anything right, but I have to see that you have the fire and you're charming and you are a go-getter. And that's it. And then, you know, this idea of hiring, you know, doing a working interview has been game changing, because people look great on paper. People do great in a 1 hour interview. And then they sometimes have a real void of common sense knowledge or just like go-to-itiveness. So like, I want people who are go-getters, who can figure things out on their own, who don't need a lot of spoon feeding. So that's a whole different creature to try to. And the best thing is, people self-select, because then they also know maybe this is not the office for me, or they didn't feel comfortable. And we like to find that out early.
I do a little exercise with them where I have them review themselves, like a 5-star review. And I have been shocked at how they rate themselves very, very highly. Mm-hmm. Like they're all fives. And I think, how is that possible? You're 22 years old. How is that possible? And right there,
they're used to Tinder and all those swiping apps. They've got to be 5 stars, otherwise they won't get swiped.
I just think, oh my gosh, you have no room for improvement at all. And so yeah. I find that anything you can do to find out who they think they are is super helpful, because then you have them shadowed for the day, and you go, wow, who you think you are is not who I know I need. You know, yeah. So. That's all you're trying to find here. Is there any consistency at all between what they think, what I think about them, what they think about the job?
Exactly. I mean, I feel like we've seen everything. We have people write down their master at Excel and blah, blah, blah. And then they come to work and you see them, someone was manually calculating math equations and plugging the number into an Excel sheet. We're like, you don't know how to write an Excel formula? Oh my gosh. So there's a lot of interesting...
All right, so let's talk about your other side. I'll call it a side hustle. You're very into training injectors, and you're not just into it. Like, you work with the pharma companies, and that's fine, and speaking, I'm sure, and training. But you also have your own training videos, and you have your own course online. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's wonderful. So it's been my passion project, and I feel like a pioneer because we started this way before anyone was teaching online and doing webinars. But it's called Modern Aesthetic Theory and Artistry. We have an Instagram page, Modern Aesthetic Theory and Artistry. And it's online modules of everything from beginner to very advanced. So beginner Botox, lips, nasal folds, very advanced, like liquid rhino, contouring cheeks, temple filler. Everything is off label. So it's things that companies can't teach you because they don't have FDA approvals to do them. But we have more than 30 modules. And when new techniques and technologies come out, we will make a module, review the technology, review the steps, and it's everything you need to know. So anatomy diagrams, step-by-step techniques, and then me leading you through a video, which I think is the most valuable. You can pay $2,000, take a week off work, go to a meeting, and you might attend lectures and you'll mostly come home and still be injecting the same way because there's a fear factor. There's getting over that barrier. There's like, you don't have that connection of someone who coached you through it. So I like to mentor and coach and take all this knowledge and anatomy and surgical training and teach people precision of filler placement, because there's so much you can do with great filler placement. I can do rhinoplasty that... My Tinkerbell tip technique, it rivals my surgical rhinoplasty. The results are just as good. It's kind of crazy. So that's been successful. And then I realized the need for it because I travel and lecture around the world and globally. There's so much secrecy and suppression of knowledge in other countries. Surgeons want to dominate and exclude everybody, which I understand that thinking because that's kind of still true even in some derm and other specialties. But we have to people are going to do these injections. So we might as well teach them the safe, correct way to do them. And so now we have an Instagram tribe. It's free to join the tribe where people ask informal questions and present their problems. And then it's beautiful to see a community that throws out answers to everyone. But you can buy the whole course, have all access to all the modules. Once you're a member, it's like $300 each year to continue to be a member. And then we keep adding more and more. This year, we added hyperdilute radius, Sculptra for face, temples, body, vertical vectoring in the high temples, 4 different thread companies. So just kind of like everything you need to know as a new young injector, and it just keeps growing. It's kind of
how amazing. Much of your time is split between surgery versus your own private practice? I'm sure you're still doing some of the non-surgical, and then the injectables.
Yeah.
And then the academia. How are you splitting up your time?
Well, I do 1 day a week of surgery, half day a week. So usually 1 or 2 cases. And then I've done more and more non-surgical because I think so much of my initial life, the first 20 years of practice was devoted to just in the ER, in the operating room, constantly operating. And then during the pandemic, we had to take a break from all of that. And that really made me push and focus on my other interests. So yeah, I'm injecting every day. I do a ton of injections. I'm very fast and good injector. And my goal is to have 3 or 4 amazing injectors under me to keep this place going so I can do these fun projects to teach and, you know, make aesthetics into a better field. I think that we're not a research-driven industry and we should be more scientifically driven. And that's kind of what my what I hope to do and strive to do. And I want to teach that and train that and do more research. I'm actually doing more clinical research trials, coming up with some of my own research ideas as well.
Well, if you ask me, I've been around when, collagen, we used to use collagen for the nasolabial folds. And I still remember having the awful track marks because I was the guinea pig, it was awful. And all of the years we went through the chipmunk phase and we look ridiculous in photos. And now it's gotten so refined. It is shocking what filler can do to the aging face. And I think we haven't even scratched that surface. It's amazing what you can do now with filler when you know what you're doing.
Literally. And I feel like the most of the country has learned this, the very primitive and basic techniques of filler up and the chipmunk overfilled look. But like when you really are injecting in the correct plane of depth, you need very little of the gel fillers. And then I'm definitely an expert with all the bioregenerative hyperdilute radius and Sculptra PLLA for neocollagenesis. So that's kind of like the next focus. And then I'm so excited to help usher in even the focus after that, which is going to be stem cell derived products like, exosomes, for example. And I just think we have so much to offer, polynucleotides, which are not even available in the US. And non-surgical, I'm a surgeon, but honestly, like what woman really wants surgery? Do we really want surgery? Like I know eventually skin stretches to the point that we have to operate and surgery is an amazing thing, but non-surgical is the wave of the future. And 50 years from now, we're going to look back at how we treated patients and just feel like, wow, that was so brutal and garish. And there's going to be non-invasive solutions to everything, right? Like my husband's a heart specialist and he now with interventional cardiology through a little artery in your wrist can install a vein, a valve in your heart. Your aortic valve can be replaced non-invasively, like in an hour's time, without cracking open your chest and going on a bypass machine. And I think that's where aesthetics should be headed.
I remember a million years ago, I needed an emergency gallbladder surgery. I was much younger. And through the whole process, if I heard it once, I heard it 10 times. You are so lucky. We have just developed this endoscopic procedure and the scar is going to be nothing. And I kept thinking, I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't even know what a gallbladder is. Now that I'm older, I think they're so right. I could have had a major scar. And instead I just felt those two little lines in my tummy. And I thought, okay, thank you. I appreciate that. But I didn't appreciate it at the time. But
yeah, it's crazy. Like I think in every other field, like that we've advanced so much non-invasively, but not as much yet in aesthetics. I mean, you can, for example, have a whole nephrectomy, take out your entire kidney through one of those tiny little ports, right? So like, can we eventually get facelifting done without having to really, cut, scar the face, lift the face? Hopefully that's coming.
Okay. Well, I'll be around for that. Okay. So let's talk about your podcast because I've been doing a podcast for, 5 years now, and it takes some work to do this. And you have 600, I have maybe 260 episodes and you have 600 beauty bites. Tell me about that.
Well, that was just a fun creative passion project. And we podcast every Tuesday. I do a longer episode, more in-depth interviews. And Fridays, I do a 5-minute Friday, those are so popular because everyone can handle a 5-minute bite. And I've been fortunate. My practice has a lot of fun celebrity patients. And so I've interviewed everyone from the Cyruses to Becky G to I also want to span into aesthetics. So I bring in aesthetic rock stars like Sheena Bay or, people in our industry who are doing cool, amazing, and interesting things. I also talk a lot about biohacking. And then some of it is just life hacks, like how to be a great mom, my tips for raising kids. It's kind of whatever I'm learning about and what's trending that I'm reading that I want the audience to learn about. So I feel like I have a good pulse on this industry. So I interviewed people who started on exosome technology way before it was popular. And we interviewed GLP-1 agonist experts for Ozempic and other products way before it became popular. So I feel like it's a really super great place to get knowledge on what's coming, what's trending, and hear it from true experts. And also I'm able to cut through the BS. So that's good too. I can be able to really pin people down when I hear things that are not quite right scientifically.
Well, then, as long as we're on this topic, and this is off topic, this whole thing about Ozempic, I was at a conference, and this professor from Tulane University went on and on for over an hour saying there are no side effects. Mm. And now since then, and I got into it, my sister and I were going to get into it because my sister said, oh, did you hear all the side effects? I said, no, this professor, I mean, it's this is a professor. This is all she does all day. I said, no, she said there are no side effects. And I'm going to die on this hill. And then I realized, so what's the answer? Are there side effects or are there not? Or what's the issue there?
Mostly when these products are used as the FDA approved medications, like they will have a 10% side effect adverse reaction profile that's been reported, studied, it's in their package insert. But the side effects truly come from compounded drugs where you don't know what you're getting injected and from rapid acceleration of the injection dosage. Like truly you're supposed to stay on a very low dosage of like, for example, I took one of those shots, Mounjaro, and you start at a very, very, very low dose for a very long time, and then your body is used to it and creeps up, and you should plan on a 4 to 6 month weight loss duration. But the people you're seeing in the media who had sudden weight loss, who were taking super high dose, losing, you know, 20 pounds in 3 weeks, that's not ever going to work. And yes, you can have all of the side effects, which are mostly related to delayed gastric emptying. So can be nausea, diarrhea, vomiting, dehydration. But for the most part, people who are taking FDA-approved prescribed meds at the right dosing schedule are not really going to have too many side effects.
Okay. I'm just staying away from it. I'm intermittent fasting. That's my thing. Yeah.
And I did that too. I did intermittent fasting for a long time and I still do. But somehow that visceral centripetal body fat that comes when you're perimenopause or going through changes, it doesn't go away. And it's just the metabolic change has been dramatic. And I was getting like, you know, an elevated hemoglobin A1C and diabetes runs in my family. So I'm so glad to like change that ability to age better. And now 17,000 people were studied in one of the recent cardiology trials, which showed up to 20% risk reduction for cardiovascular mortality, which is so you won't die from heart attack, stroke, and diabetes. So that's so much more important than just looking great. To get off of pills and change your health span.
That's the secret though. You can be skinny, but you're not healthy, you know?
Yes. And you don't feel good. Exactly. Yeah. So I think that's so important to get a doctor or, you know, someone who's going to do all the testing on you, follow you, make sure you're on it at a slow, low dose. It should be like, just like a, you know, the weight just quietly melts off. So it's quite good. I wouldn't hesitate.
So your patient population, they seem to be skewing on the younger side on your Instagram. It looks like a younger group, not like the 20s, but more like the, I don't know, 20s, 30s, 40s. I'm not seeing a lot of like the aging phase kind of mature. So are you focused more on who's your demographic? Who are you focused on?
I mean, I think it's definitely 30 to 60. And then the reason that those faces don't show up in Instagram is because they say no to being videoed. But am I seeing those more mature faces? I definitely am. And women of color, men, all the people who don't want to be on videos. So yeah, I would say a third of our patients are definitely like 50 plus. And, you know, that's definitely I identify with that. Hopefully they identify with me. But I have a lot of younger patients too. I happen to get popular on TikTok. So we see a lot of TikTokers and then what you post is what you're going to attract into your practice. So if I'm having videos with young glamorous models, then I'm going to see a lot of those patients too. So, but that's really just a function of who's willing to share their experience.
Yeah. Your social media, you're crushing it on Instagram. You have 351,000 followers. Any secrets to that? How long it took and how much time do you put into that? And
yeah, it's taken a long time. I think we started Instagram like 5 years ago and then have consistently been posting every single day for 5 years. There's not, I would say maybe 2 or 3 days have gone by where I didn't post. And it's been, you know, super helpful. It used to be that half of my referrals were word of mouth. And I would say it's still half, but the other half is all fully Instagram and social media. And it's a very important part of what we do. It makes people feel comfortable. People follow me an average of 1 year to 2 years before they'll come in and see me. So a lot of my new patients, like I've been following you for a whole year and I finally decided to come in. And I love that it breaks down that barrier to entry. They know who I am. They already know my talk tract. They've seen a bunch of my patients. There's a lot of confidence, and then they're just ready to launch and do the procedure they want.
The joke around here is my book. It takes you surgeons like 1 or 2 years to buy the book.
Yes.
And then you finally feel comfortable enough to buy it. It's like, oh, finally, we got, okay, the clock started. Okay, they finally bought it. So funny.
I have your book. Okay.
But that's how we are. We have to think about it. We have to get to know somebody. And that's why social media has taken off so much. The big question is, who are you?
You know? And the videos people like the best are the funny ones where I'm just being myself, or I show a side of my personality that, like, my staff gave me Taco Bell that I'd never eaten certain dish at Taco Bell. That was like such a popular video, because I'm like, they asked me, how does it taste? And I was like processed cheese. And it was just kind of funny.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like obsessed with the McDonald's French fries, but that's about it. You know,
I love those too. Yeah.
When I was in grad school, just to get through grad school, because I had to go at night, I would guilty pleasure was a big large fry with a big strawberry milkshake, and I would eat and drink that on the way to the university. And I definitely gained weight doing that. Yeah, there's nothing dietetic about it.
That sounds so good. Everyone listening is going to go get that now after getting off this podcast.
Salt and the sweet. Oh my gosh. Any patient trends are you feeling, like, what are people asking for now that they never used to, or what's trending?
Well, a couple things. Since we've had a lot of filler fear and overfilled faces, there's sort of the rebound effect now of people not wanting filler as much. So regenerative therapies are very popular, and that would be things like Sculptra, hyperdilute radius, and collagen building technologies. So I love the idea of the bioregenerative therapy and that next realm of what we can do with turning on the body's ability to regrow youthful new tissue. The other thing would be microneedling is so popular, like drug delivery and topical delivery of exosomes or very potent ingredients and platelet-rich plasma. That's super popular right now. In our office, we're using that as well for pigmentation treatments to drive them below the surface of the skin to work in the dermis where the melanocytes are. Very popular. And then I think we went through a trend of doing things like threads, which really don't work that great. And now more high energy devices for tightening and lifting. So those are the popular things. Microinvasive surgeries, I think, is the next big trend for me. So surgery, but in a microscopic way, we're making like teeny tiny brow lift incisions, really hidden hairline temporal lift incisions. And like the same thing with face lifting and using techniques that have been around for a long time where we can do suture suspension of cheek fat and tunnel it up and anchor it in. It's a surgery. It's done with a really non-invasive approach, but it gives surgical results. And it's not a loosely floating thread. It's an anchored, tied, tight thread that will last.
Love that. What are you calling that?
I like that idea of microinvasive surgery, but I have to brand it.
And especially like if you've had a facelift, like I've had one, but I would love a little tune-up, but I don't want a full-blown facelift again. The scar tissue must be crazy under there. But a little tune-up, whatever you want to call that, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, so vertical vectoring is what I have been calling it, and I do it both surgically and non-surgically. So surgically, it can be done with that cheek suture suspension that anchors into the temple and pulls this whole mid-face up. And then non-surgically can be with Sculptra or products that kind of give you a lift. And it's not in a typical temple location. It's up high in the hairline. So it really gives the maximal lift.
Oh, well, keep researching that. I need that. Okay, so we're going to wrap it up now, but tell us something we don't know about you.
Well, I am an animal and plant lover. Apparently I grew up with cats, but apparently I'm also really a dog person this year. A couple of years back, we got a puppy during the pandemic, and I love my teacup Maltese buddy. I also am fascinated with gardening and growing things herbal, and using some of those products in my skincare line has been like a really healthy, you know, hobby for me to grow stuff and experiment with it and then bring it into skincare. So I'm a little outdoorsy and I love animals.
And you have three children and you're a surgeon and you work
four.
With
I've got company. Four.
You have four children?
Four children. I had a set of twins, my chief year of residency at UCLA, a boy and a girl. And then I had two more girls after that.
I can't imagine. Oh, and then you had two more kids after the twins? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. You are one busy person. Thank you so much. If anybody wanted to talk with you or check you out, I know your website is beautybydrkay.com. What's your Instagram handle?
Everything's the same handle, beautybydrkay.com. And it's on Instagram, beautybydrkay. It's D-R-K-A-Y. And our podcast is Beauty Bites, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And yeah, check us out on Modern Aesthetic Theory. Definitely come and follow. I teach a lot. You'll learn a lot as a person and as an injector and as a boss girl woman.
Thank you so much, Dr. K. It's been a pleasure. And everybody, that's going to wrap it up for us today. Please share this with your colleagues and your staff. If you've got any questions for me, please leave them on my website at katherinemaley.com. You can also schedule a complimentary 30-minute strategy call with me if you also want to understand the marketing and the business side of your practice better. And then if you want to DM me, you can do that at katherinemaleymba. Thanks so much, and we'll talk again soon.
Well, that's it for now, guys. Wasn't that an amazing podcast? I hope you learned so much. You can check out Katherine Malley on her handles. She has a wonderful podcast, Beauty in the Biz. Listen to that too. You can find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y. And our website is the same, www.beautybydrk.com. Check out all of the amazing services we offer. If you're ever in Pasadena, the Los Angeles area, or Beverly Hills, come and see us, and you will be surprised and delighted at all the amazing things we do for people's faces. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.